I got to tell you, one of my biggest fears on Sunday morning, I have a sermon printed out here, and through the magic of Google Translate, I translate a copy of this into Spanish for Señor Núñez, and my fear is that some morning in my rushing around, I switch the two copies so that he's got English and he's scratching his head and I'm panicking. I have the English version here. Which chapter in Matthew did we read from last week? Anybody remember chapter? There's only 28 chapters. Chapters. You got to stop me here. It was chapter 4. Chapter 4. It included the temptation of Jesus by Satan, those three temptations. And then in that same chapter, Jesus begins his earthly ministry. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing people everywhere he goes. So much so that in verse 24 of chapter 4 it reads, "So Jesus' fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and Jesus cured them. Great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan." In other words, what Jesus was doing, his preaching, his teaching, his healing, he became very popular and the crowds just gathered around him. We turn the page in the Bible to today's reading, chapter 5 from Matthew, the start of the Sermon on the Mount. Today's reading is the Beatitudes followed by some words about salt and light. A lot of people were following Jesus. And in one sentence last week, he was teaching and healing them. And now in this week's first sentence, he begins a series of phrases with the word blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Some thoughts here. Jesus was with the people. He was healing them. And these people, the sick, the hurting, the ones that we sometimes in society forget or neglect or shun, it was to these people that Jesus spent time with, teaching, preaching, healing, that he taught, that he was with. Jesus was present with them. And so with today's lesson, when a large crowd gathered about him on the mountain, Jesus spoke to this same group of people. And Jesus speaks to us today. You are the blessed ones. No matter how much you might feel alone or forgotten or out of place, Jesus speaks to you and to me. Blessed are you. These Beatitudes were written or spoken in the present tense. Jesus does not suggest that someday in the future down the road your life might be blessed, but he's saying right now, you are the blessed ones, right here, in this moment. Hey, Pastor Dick, do you remember the Greek word for blessed here? I had to look it up. So, Makarios, Makarios. And it literally means a divine blessing. In the church in Cloquet that I served for a couple of years, their pew Bibles was probably still is, the Good News Translation. A nice paraphrase. But in this chapter 5, the Beatitudes, it began with happy. happy are. Happy are. A nice thought. It's fun to be happy and full of joy and all that kind of stuff, but it's not the same to say happy are you versus blessed are you. Jesus is not saying just be happy. Rather, he's saying God is blessing you. You are favored by God. We are blessed by God, not to make us happy or jolly or content. We are blessed by God for a purpose. And I think the purpose is spelled out in the verses that follow the Beatitudes. You are the salt of the earth. You are the starboard. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. The words of blessing and the Beatitudes to the people, it is an invitation to service, a call to ministry, a vocation for you and me to share these same blessings, the Beatitudes, God's favor to people around us, to all people, to everyone, everywhere. I was thinking about these two phrases, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light to the world. And it dawned on me elsewhere in one of the Gospels, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, Jesus is all of these things and more. But now in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus is the true light and the true salt. But Jesus calls us to share that same light and salt with others. To share God's blessings, God's light, God's salt with people near and far. With people that we like, and with people that we do not like. You are the salt. You are the light. Does anybody know much of the history of salt? I mean, it's been around forever, right? I remember the chemical symbol, sodium chloride, and it goes into solution pretty quick. Salt throughout much of history has been used in preserving food so that the food did not spoil and become useless. Today, with refrigerators and freezers and chemicals, all of that helps to keep our food stay fresh longer. But that was not always the case. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, what does he mean? Salt was a valuable commodity back then. Without that salt, food would go bad and you would go hungry. Wars were fought over possession of salt. Roman soldiers were paid often in salt. And the word salary, get this, the word salary comes from the same root word as salt. And so that phrase, are you worth your salt, brings to mind one's worth, one's salary, one's total worth. And Jesus is telling all of us that we are worth it. We have God's favor, that we are the salt of the earth. Go, share the salt of God with all. You are also the light of the world. Imagine a pitch black, dark room, but one candle is lit, and that one candle makes a difference in one's ability to see. And with more light shining in the darkness, the eyes of people can see more and can see more clearly. Go, share the light of all, the light of God with all. How long has that slide been up there? That's the kind of my punchline going on here. Imagine if you and I combined our saltiness, our lights together, and then, that was kind of scary. Clara, do you want to move so that light comes back on? I'll do it. It's like freaking me out that God said, let there be light. And then imagine if we at this congregation combined our saltiness and our lights with other churches, other people in this community, in this state, in this country, and around the world. Imagine the difference that our combined saltiness and lights would make together. You and I are the salt and light together. And so if you see the word salt, each letter could stand for salt and light together. So you are, we are the salt and light of God. Let us go with God's salt and God's light. Amen.